Hey, this is Rick Cassells from ExercisesForInjuries.com. I have another interview for you today, and today it's specifically on an injury. So we're going to talk about biceps tears, and I have a fellow on the line who's going to share his experience when it comes to his recovery from his biceps tear. So, Elliot, I'll get you to introduce yourself to the listeners.
Hey, Rick, thanks for having me on the call. This is Elliot Hulse. Those of you who don't know me, I'm a professional strongman and strength and conditioning coach. I've been training athletes in my warehouse gym in St. Petersburg for the past 5 years, but I've really been doing this since I was about 4 years old. My uncle was a martial artist, black belt in Northern Shaolin Kung Fu. He was also an ex-gymnast, a bodybuilder, and the guy was just incredible and dynamic. And at the age of four, he started teaching me and my little brothers how to do push-ups and chin-ups and bear crawls and climbing ropes and things like that in my parents' basement. So that sparked my interest for fitness. As I got older, he taught me how to train with barbells and dumbbells in my parents' basement. I took that and started teaching my football teammates how to train as well, and I realized instantly that this is something I need to do for the rest of my life, and that is exactly what I do. I teach people how to get stronger.
Awesome. So we're going to kind of talk about your story when it comes to, you know, biceps tears. So maybe you can kind of, you know, explain to us what a biceps tear is, or maybe kind of tell us your story on how it happened.
Okay. Well, I know a lot of you guys are here and you listen to stories about injury and injury rehab and injury prevention. So this is going to be very interesting to you. I'm going to take it back just a little bit. A lot of my educational background comes from internships that I've done with guys like Paul Check and the different guys in corrective exercises and stretching. And I did quite well with a business where I was teaching people how to correct their posture and avoid injury and a lot of things that you guys talk about here. Then a friend of mine introduced me to strongman training, and I caught the bug and immediately, almost like night and day, just went to the other end of the spectrum with my training, where I was very conservative for a while to now we're lifting stones and flipping tires and pushing logs over our heads. Because of my football background, I took to it very easily. And like I said earlier, I've become a professional strongman, and I started using that system of combining strongman training with powerlifting and bodybuilding to train football players and athletes and fitness enthusiasts at my gym. I even created an ebook called Lean Hybrid Muscle, which is kind of how I use this system for getting guys to burn fat. Isn't that average guys to burn fat and build muscle? Well, anyway, as I think anyone who becomes addicted to any form of athletics or sports, or if you tend to be a type A personality of any sort, you want to excel and keep pushing yourself and trying to achieve greater and greater things, setting higher and higher goals to the point where there may end up being some imbalance. You end up giving things up in your pursuit. And I think anybody who is a goal seeker understands that. You realize that if I'm going to have this, I've got to give this up. One of the things I like to tell my clients is, you know, when they come to me with their goals, I say, well, let's first get very clear about what you want, and then let's get very clear about what you're willing to do, because you're going to have to do something, you have to give something up. And in order for me to excel in my sport and to continue to pursue what I eventually wanted to do was to be considered the strongest 105K man in America, and I was pretty damn close to it. But as Rick described, I suffered an injury, and I think that injury taught me a lot more about life and physiology, actually, than just how to train, because I did understand how to train at the time. So as the story goes, I was preparing for the show that would have put me as the strongest lightweight competitor in the nation, and I was training at a friend's house, and we were flipping some tires, lifting some stones. Really great session, breaking some records, just killing it, crushing it. If you could just imagine the environment and the attitude that's associated with this sport, I think the best way to describe it is like a bonfire or like an explosion, a gasoline explosion. These are all guys that are really, I'm going to use the term sympathetically overloaded because it will make more sense to you later on, but we're just pushing the limit as far as we can in every regard. I mean, every repetition is like a event. I mean, most people can stand training with us for 5 minutes. That's intense. But this is what was required in order to reach my goal. So, I willfully put forth that effort until after that training sessions, I went home to help my dad in his garden, of all things, and he asked me to help him rip up some dead plants. And as I did, I tore my bicep. I was pulling on some roots. I heard pop, pop, two big cracks. And my dad looked at me and he was like, "Oh, you got the root up." And I looked at him.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like. It sounded like wood snapping, you know. So that his initial reaction was like, "Okay, great, let's move on." And I'm like, "No, that wasn't good." And we looked down at my arm and saw that the bicep was rolled up into my shoulder, like a big flat area where the bicep once inserted into the elbow, and I knew that was, at that point, I was like, okay, this is a sign. This is not supposed to happen. The fact that it did happen means that I need to start paying attention to things that I'm going to talk to you guys about here today. Before we move any further, this is just a strange coincidence, just a story that I put out there for anyone who's interested. The night before I tore my bicep, I woke, and I'm not that much of a prayer, you know. I'm not a real prayerful man. I believe in God, but for some reason, I just felt that I needed to pray. It was the strangest thing. I was laying in bed, and I prayed because I needed a sense of direction in my life. I was saying to God that, you know, please show me without a doubt, show me without any ambiguity. That was the term I used with it. Without any ambiguity, show me today exactly what you want me to do next, because I was at a crossroads of many different things in my life. And one of the things that we were considering was buying a new house. So when I got up that morning and I went to talk to some friends, one of them said, "Hey, I got a really good house that's ready for sale, and I think it's going to be a good fit for you guys." And showed me pictures. I was like, this is it. My prayers were answered. So like, you know, anybody else who's superstitious to some degree, they figured, well, that's it. So my prayers were answered. And it just so happened to be the same exact day that a few hours later I tore my bicep. And it turns out that I misunderstood the actual life-changing event, and the answer that I was looking for was the injury that I suffered. And it really turned my life around and taught me some things that I want to teach you today. So that's a lot of talking there, Rick. Do you have any questions that want me to elaborate or anything?
Okay, maybe you can kind of tell us like your journey. Okay, so you tore it. It had the breaking wood sound, and then what was next? You head to the hospital. Okay. You're head to the doctor. You get surgery done.
Well, I tore my bicep. I went inside. The first thing that you do not want to do if you tear a bicep, listen very closely. If anybody here does any type of intense training, you might tear your bicep. Do not put ice on it right away. That is the worst thing you can do. I didn't know that until it was too late. What happens is, because it's detached from the bone, when you put the ice on it, muscles have a tendency to contract under in cold weather. And when you put that cold piece of ice on a muscle that's not attached to the bone, it will contract and it will just ball up in absence of its anchoring. And that is a painful and ugly experience. So I just made it that much worse when I went inside and put ice on it. That same afternoon that I told my bicep was the first time that I have four children. It's the first time that my oldest daughter ever saw me cry. So that was kind of a telling sign of what was to come. What I essentially did was, most people would take an injury and they're focused on the injury, the site of the injury. They're looking at the bicep because you tore the bicep. And I put up some YouTube videos and people were always interested. Elliot, what are you doing for your bicep? How are you training now? How are you rehabilitating the bicep? But what I did was I took a few steps back and I looked at the big picture. Rehabilitating a muscle or a tendon or a joint or an injury isn't as magical as it may seem. You know, there are a handful of principles that you can use. Ultimately, if you follow those principles, I'll teach you guys all about, then you're going to be okay. But I took it one step back, especially when I started to look at my lifestyle and the way I was going about things 24 hours a day, not just that 1 hour that I was training. And I came to realize after speaking with my brother, who is an avid martial artist, as well as my uncle that I told you about earlier, that there is a balance in nature. And what they how they described it was yin and yang. And apparently that's a martial arts term or Eastern philosophy, where there is an aggressive tendency, but there's also a passive tendency. There's balance is seen everywhere in life. There's sunshine and there's darkness. There's up, there's down. There's winter, there's summer. There's male, there's female. Now, that's just, in this philosophy, everything in life is somehow an expression of that balance. What happens is, as human beings, we become very attached to one side of the thing. In Western culture, and especially the type A personalities that I think most of us are becoming because we're so driven in one regard, is to put a lot of effort on the yang side of things, the aggressive, fiery, goal achievement, succeeding side of things, and not nearly as much on the passive yin recovery side of things. And when he told me that, and he started using this flowery language, like, you know, water and fire and yin and yang, I thought it was interesting. I thought it was cool. I thought it was a cool philosophy until I took it and I literally, well, not literally, but figuratively, took it up and matched it against my physiology book where I was learning about the autonomic nervous system. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar, the autonomic nervous system is a branch of the central nervous system that is basically automatic. You know, there are things that it does that you don't have to think about. Like, for example, if a dog barks in your face, you don't have to say, oh, my God, my eyes need to dilate, my heart rate needs to go up, I need to suck in more oxygen because I'm scared. You don't have to tell yourself to do that. It happens automatically. And that's what I just described, elicits what's called a sympathetic response. Remember, I used that term earlier. There's also a branch of that autonomic nervous system. There are two branches, just like that yin and yang I described, that is associated with the release of growth hormone, testosterone, relaxation. It's anabolic, as opposed to the other side that I was talking about, which is catabolic. So what I started to realize was that my entire lifestyle and the way I was training, the way I was living, the things that I was doing was so catabolic. It was so yang all the time. It was so fiery. It was so breaking down that I never allowed my body, my mind to build back up. I never gave my nervous system a chance to recover. And the way that would happen is by resting, relaxing, breathing, sleeping, reading, doing things that stimulate the branch of the nervous system that is associated with growth, anabolic hormones. So in my endeavors, in order to find a way to stimulate these anabolic hormones through the stimulation of the parasympathetic branch of the nervous system, that yin, the softer branch, I discovered that there is a mode of exercise, several, in fact, mode of ancient exercises that have been used by people for thousands of years, literally. 4,000 years, I think, is one of the branches that I studied. These are exercises that are done very slowly, and they're done with a consciousness of how you're breathing. You got to spend a lot of time keeping your heart rate low, focusing on breathing through your nose. There are several different movements that are associated with several different areas of your body that if you stimulate, you get a different response. So, for example, you do some of the exercises that I'll talk to you about in a moment, and you focus on the belly button, down between your genitals and your belly button. That area, It's called the Lower Dantian. It's called the Root. It depends on what tradition you study, but for our sakes, we're just going to call it the Bio Battery. And that particular area, if you breathe into it and you use some of the movements that I'll tell you about, then you get your body to release more of the hormones that are associated with that particular area. You know, your sexual hormones are in that area, so testosterone would be one of them. And there are exercises that you can do to bring more life and energy and biological energy to your head, to your face. I mean, how many people have headaches all the time? Their faces are all mangled and contorted because they're thinking all the time, and they're frustrated. So there are exercises that you can do to stimulate that to the other end of your body, to stimulate that. And you've got glands and hormones that are associated. We've got the pineal gland, the pituitary gland, that are all up in that particular region of the body. By stimulating those, the hormones that are associated with those glands, we get an anabolic response from our nervous system and our hormonal system as well. So this is just all very exciting stuff to me, and essentially what I've done is I started teaching all of my clients how to use what I call anabolic energizer exercises to balance out what we're doing in the gym with the hardcore yang, fiery, strong anti-training with softer, more passive qigong, yoga, type exercises that, like I said before, anabolic energizers.
Okay. And then, so you end up having the injury, and then, it kind of forced you off a different path and forced you to kind of reevaluate things a lot more, and you kind of started using these, you know, new exercise techniques or movement techniques in order to help you with your recovery.
Right. Yeah, that's essentially it. You know, exercise took on a deeper philosophy than just what was happening with the muscle. I think that's the most important point to get across, and if anybody's listening and wants to a take-home point, it's to consider, now everybody is exercise and nutrition, but that's still far more superficial than what's happening with our hormones and our nervous system. So I discovered just through the injury and then through the responses I was getting by trying out new things that there was far more that needed to be explored and utilized with myself and my clients than just, doing squats or how many push-ups can we do or chin-ups can we do or how many carbohydrates you should be eating. Those things just were so superficial at the point of my discovery that I realized that much more attention needs to be paid to what is happening psychologically, emotionally to the person. I mean, the word emotion basically means to move out. Our body is our emotion is expressed in our body. If we're always stressed out and we're depressed or we're tired or anxious or we're scared or we're fearful, then that's going to be pretty evident in how our body feels and looks. You're going to have certain muscles that are overdeveloped and tight. For example, if you look at someone who is fearful, they have a tendency to shrug their shoulders up. That's just a typical response to the emotion of fear. Someone who is depressed, it's very easy to look at someone and tell if they're depressed by the hunching over of the back. They collapse their solar plexus. So, I mean, all of this is, well, these are all the things that I wanted to share with people, because if we're spending so much time on beating the body and not recognizing the psycho-emotional, physiological response to those exercises, and how we can manipulate those exercises to get a greater response from our body. Everybody wants to be more youthful, you know, and it's funny that a lot of the things that we're doing to get more youthful, like spinning on bikes for an hour at a time and, some of the exercise routines that we do that are so catabolic that are just breaking us the hell down without balancing out that catabolic and anabolic type exercise routine, then we're really just like we're running in the opposite direction than where we really want to be.
Okay. And then, you know, what I mean, was there anything that you ended up doing when it came to the physical side of things, like, I mean, exercise or, you know, how did you end up modifying things to kind of help you when it comes to the recovery process, your biceps tear?
Well, like I said, for the body, for the gym, and right now it's funny, I just opened up a new gym. I moved to a new location. I've got two sides to my gym, and I've got the fire side and the water side. So when I say fire side, I'm talking superficial. I'm talking aggressive. So the things that are associated with the muscle in that regard that I did were very similar to a lot of things that you probably teach people, but there was a lot of stretching. There were a lot of isolation exercises just to get the nervous system to recognize that there's a muscle there again. Because after 7 weeks of not driving nerve impulses to that tissue, the nervous system kind of develops what's like a photosensory amnesia. It just kind of doesn't remember that there's muscle there. We need to contract that. We need to turn that on. So a lot of isolation exercises, as well as stretches. But the main thing for me, because of being an athlete and wanting to get right back into training as fast as possible, on that side of things, was to integrate patterns into my movement again. To start doing compound exercises like bent over rows. Chin-ups were something that I could not do with a torn bicep, and I wanted to be able to do chin-ups as quickly as possible. Not only so, see, what happens is the nervous system will recognize the isolation of a muscle, but it will also forget patterns. So I wanted to get those patterns back into my routine as fast as possible. And then on the water side of things, like I described, the water side of my gym is the side where we stimulate the parasympathetic branch of the nervous system with anabolic energizer exercises to get the body to release more building hormone. You see, that's really what's getting the body to build itself back up after the injury, but even after, you know, just training your ass off. It's to stimulate the parasympathetic branch of the nervous system to get the body to release more anabolic hormones. That's why we call them anabolic energizers. So it was a combination of the two.
Okay. So you were doing some of the, you know, typical exercises that one would do, but what you kind of found was that there was a lot more to it that you need, you know, you end up kind of discovering and looking for new things that were just beyond just doing, you know, the regular exercises that you kind of would do in the gym in order to kind of help recover from your biceps tear.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Rick, we're not, a lot of people forget that we're not just a meat suit walking around. You know what? We're not just flesh and bones. There's a lot of, there are hormones and a nervous system, and there's a spirit I don't care what your philosophical or religious ideal is, but there's something beyond what we're just seeing and feeling with our hands and eyes that needs to be recognized when designing our exercise programs. I ignored that completely. That was something that I was just like, you know, screw it. I'm just going to keep pushing harder and harder and harder. But my heart or my spirit or whatever you want to call it was guiding me in a direction, and I wasn't listening. And that caused a lot of sympathetic overload. So another one of the key points that I wanted everyone to take home is that when you're training your clients or you're training yourself, recognize that there's far more than just those hands and feet and those legs and biceps. There's a lot more going on there. And if you're having a client that's having a difficult time getting results, maybe there's a hormonal imbalance. Maybe they're stressed out at home. Maybe they're stressed out with their job and their boss. And even though they're doing all the things you're telling them to do, and they're doing it right, you may be causing further sympathetic overload. You may just be stressing them out more and making them more catabolic. And that's why we've got to pay very close attention and prescribe the right types of exercise. Now, I know, you know, your clients come to see you, they want to sweat, that's great. But there's a way to perhaps integrate exercises that our ancestors had used for, like I said, 3,000, 4,000 years. And if you wanted to study more about that, there are lots of great books as well on Qigong exercise. I'm doing a lot of research and studying a lot of Wilhelm Reich's work, as well as Alexander Lowen. They kind of westernized a lot of these ideas, especially Alexander Lowen, and talks about what he calls motility, and it's basically the body's ability to express itself freely in absence of restrictions. And most of the restrictions with people with psychologists were associated with psycho-emotional disturbances or stress.
Okay. Okay. Interesting. I never really thought about that.
I know you're listening and as an interviewer, but I would definitely encourage you and invite you to take a look at especially Alexander Lowen's work. There's an excellent book, and I know you're kind of a geeky type like me, so you're going to you'll absorb it really quickly, but there's a great book called The Language of the Body. He's got a series of them. I mean, there's Language of the Body, Voice of the Body. I mean, these are all books that were transcribed as lectures of his. But very interesting stuff about balancing, first of all, balancing the autonomic nervous system, recognizing the yin and yang in our bodies, the pleasure principle and the reality principle that you may have remembered from studying high school psychology that Freud taught his students, but how that's all played out throughout nature, but most importantly, in our own bodies, in our own minds, and it expresses itself in our tissue. If you've ever heard some of the massage therapists, they say the issues are in the tissues. Well, that's absolutely correct. You know, there are muscles in our body that end up become either overdeveloped or underdeveloped based on how we're living out the rest of our lives, not just what we're doing in the gym.
Okay. So you really recommend if people are finding, you know, if they're doing the kind of the traditional route when it comes to, you know, strengthening and flexibility exercises and people and their clients aren't really getting the results or recovery isn't happening as quickly as they want, I mean, they've got to potentially look into things being a little bit deeper. And there might be a neurological reason, like a sympathetic or parasympathetic reason that could be slowing down the recovery that someone's going through when it comes to an injury.
Absolutely. I mean, Rick, everything is about the nervous system. I mean, you say neurological issue, and it sounds like you've got to be a brain surgeon, but our whole body is turned on by electricity. Everything we do, everything we think, everything ties back to our nervous system. The easiest way to recognize your inability to control your nervous system, what we're describing as balancing the autonomic nervous system, is to see how you breathe or how a client of yours breathes. We have a tendency to hold our breath, not take full breaths. And what happens when, it's a chicken or an egg, but what happens when we hold our breath and we take shallow breaths is we stimulate the parasympathetic branch of the nervous system. Our body thinks we're being chased by a freaking tiger because holding your breath is a response of fear. And at the same time, holding your breath, like I said, it's a chicken or an egg. You're either holding your breath because you're fearful or you hold your breath and your body produces a fear response, which is to release catabolic hormones. So the very first thing I would do is just to invite people to just kind of consider how they're breathing. And it's just a matter of being aware, just walking throughout the day, because all the exercises that I describe and all the exercises that you know how to do, all the exercises everybody's doing that they see in Men's Fitness really doesn't matter, because the generator for the energy that's associated with turning on the nervous system that gets you to do those exercises is your breathing. And if you're not breathing properly, then everything else that proceeds from that place, that's your foundation. Everything else that proceeds from that place is either weak or strong based on your ability or your awareness of your breath. So to be talking about, should I stretch my bicep tendon or or anything of that regard, and it's like, but your foundation is screwed up because you're not breathing right and your nervous system is imbalanced, it's kind of like putting on a bow tie with no suit.
Okay. I mean, thanks for all the compliments throughout the interview there, Elliot. No worries. Okay. I mean, any other examples that you can give? I like the breathing one as an example when it comes to, you know, the nervous system. But, you know, any other examples or kind of last-minute things that you want to, you know, let people know when it comes to thinking beyond just the physical aspect of their injury?
What I would invite everyone to consider is just that this is not easy stuff. This is not an easy thing to talk about. It's not an easy thing to approach your clients with. It's not an easy thing to grasp. That's because most of what we've been taught and most of where we are conditioned to stay is on the surface. Because anything beyond the surface is a little scary and isn't as easily quantified as the things that we know within our heart and that we can sense in our emotions. But I would invite you to be open and to consider these things, especially with approaching what I think is should be everyone's goal is to become the strongest version of yourself. And I kind of coined that term after I pulled my bicep because I was on my way to being the strongest man in America at my weight, on my body weight, but I wasn't the strongest version of myself. And that included being the strongest version of myself, included all the things that this form of exercise that I'm describing and the things that you learn by studying Wilhelm and Lowen are associated with. You know, it's we're a mind-body, we're a unit. And recognizing that and just considering it, at least, is going to help you, it's going to help your clients, it's going to be something that just opens up a brand new world of ideas about what we are as human beings and what our potential really is.
Awesome. Well, Dale, this has been an enlightening interview. I haven't really thought about this stuff. I'm going to have to look up those that resource that you kind of talked about. Now, any other last-minute things for people or where people can get more information about you?
Well, if you kind of like the crazy shit that I'm talking about and you're interested in my style of communication, you can always grab my daily emails by going to hulsstrength.com, H-U-L-S-E, strength.com. That's my blog. I basically write an email every day teaching my subscribers and readers about some of the interesting ideas that I come up with about strength. And then I always post them on there so you can stay up to date.
Okay. Perfect. Well, thank you very much, Elliot, for your time.
Yeah, Rick, thanks.
And thank you, exercisesforinjuries.com listeners. I got a lot out of this interview. It got me thinking about things a little bit differently when it comes to injuries and looking at kind of beyond the physical side when it relates to the injury and looking more at the nervous system side when it comes to injury and how it can affect one's recovery from an injury. So this is Rick Aselge from exercisesforinjuries.com saying take care and bye-bye.